World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I love this show. I don't know if it's a show. I don't know what it is, but I love this show. I want you to know that. It motivates me, keeps me on the straight and narrow, makes me make sure before I bring something here that I've kind of done a little bit of vetting on it. And if it's not true, I try to tell you it's not true. Bob Evans snuck in with me because we have to cover our friend Bob Evans in prayer today because he is heading to Bob and Tammy came down last night. And today is the spring equinox, right? First day of spring is today. And Spencer, if you could pull up there real quickly so people can see what we're talking about here, that Newark thing. Bob and Tammy are going to go to the Newark Earthworks. And I could maybe I ought to do a show on this. But Bob and Tammy are Bob's coming to document exactly where the sun comes up this morning. It was if you know anything at all about the Newark Earthworks, the Circle Mounds, people told us the Hopewell Indians built them, which is baloney. There's no way they are. L.A. Marzulli said he believes they were supernaturally committed. It's a complete circle. He thinks they were supernaturally formed. He doesn't know how, but they were supernaturally formed. And they're in a complete circle, except there's an opening. So click on that one where the moon is there, Spencer, that one. So Bob is going to go today. That's a picture of the mounds where Bob's going to go. See the circle here? And then there's the Octagon Mounds, which is farther down the road, about a mile, maybe a mile and a half. They're all connected, this geographic, whatever form that they got. So on the day of the equinox, the sun comes up right in the middle. Spencer, if you can point at that little, the thing that connects them, right there. That's the opening. Bob is going to, okay, now Spencer, come back here. Put your marker there, Spencer, and come toward, right there, come this way. Right there, folks, if you go right there on that spot inside the circle, and Bob and I went there yesterday, there is a mound where sacrifices were made. Human sacrifices were made. This is what they teach us anyway, right? And they were made on today, on what we believe specifically today, because today is a high holiday in the occult. So what Bob is going to do, if I could, my own pointer will work. Well, Spencer, maybe you can do it. Bob's going to go stand right there, and he's going to take pictures, and he's going to see that the sun, which sometimes comes up clear over here, or sometimes comes up clear over here. Spencer, can you do that for me? Go up, because they're looking at your marker. Okay, sometimes the sun, because of the rotation of the earth, go to the sun, Spence. Go right, put your marker on the sun. Go. Now, sometimes the sun comes up over here. Yeah, and sometimes, depending on the day, it comes up on the other side. But today, on the equinox, the sun comes up right in the middle of that opening of the mound. Okay, you with me? And so Bob and Tammy are going to go they're going to go document the supernatural. Hey, Stephanie, are you out there? Because, folks, if you don't think that the dark side understands what's going on there, they told us it was the Hopewell Indians, right? Hopewell Indians didn't do this. They didn't do this. And, you know, this is called the Land of Legend here in Licking County. These things are all over the place here. They're all over these formations are all over this county, but this is the heart of it. So Bob and Tammy are going to go. Bob wants to document, take pictures of it, where it is. All like, what do you tell them, Bob? What you going to do here?
Well, what we're doing is kind of doing this all over the face of the earth today. Other guys are doing this too. We're documenting. We're going to do the biblical day count of the sun calendar, the God's calendar. We call it three.
Is it really 365 days? Because we know with a leap year, it's 365 and a quarter, right? So every year, every 4 years, we have to add another day. Where did that idea come from? Is the biblical year really 365 days, or is it 364? And so they're trying to figure out biblical cosmology is really what he's doing. So he's documenting it.
Yep. Documenting the cosmology. And next year, when we come back again, as long as we can see the sunshine, no cloud cover, we can take this picture and see if it locates on 364 days or 365.
It's a beautiful, as far as I know, it's going to be a beautiful morning. It's pretty cold here, but it's going to be bright and clear. So it'll come up. So Bob will have to slip out here in a minute because he and Tammy, sun comes up here at 7:32. So Bob, you got 26 minutes to get over there and get situated. So he's going to be there. I've done it by the way. I've been there on this day when that thing, you cannot believe when you stand out there in the middle, you cannot believe that sun comes up right in that opening. Now, how'd they do that? However many years ago, how did they do that? There's something really, really supernatural going on. So we need to cover them. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes the Wiccans will be there because it's a high holiday for them, right? It's a high holiday. And so we don't get it, right? We don't get it. We think the Hopewell Indians just did. Friends, if you came and you walked this thing, you wouldn't believe it. And then it's connected to what they call the Octagon Mounds, which is the Mound Builders Golf Course, which is about a mile away. You see that thing that connects it in the back? That's an octagon, eight sides. And just recently, the World Council of whatever seized control of those mounds because they say it has worldwide significance. Crazy, crazy stuff. So I don't want to get buried on that, but that's why Bob's here and he and Tammy. And anything else, Bob?
No, that's it. First, we're heading out.
All right. Okay. Thanks, man. Bless you, Bob. Lord, let's just pray for Bob right now. Lord, we just pray for Bob and Tammy. Lord, we ask that according to your word, he who dwells in the secret place of Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we just pray that you cover them everywhere that they go, everywhere they put their feet, let it be as an inheritance. And Lord, we just pray that Christ will be glorified through them and in them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. So I don't really have a whole lot of show prep, although I do. I don't have a whole lot of show prep because Bob's been up talking to me for about an hour, but it's all good. Let me cover a couple things here. I'm getting excited, pumped up about going to Indian Lake tomorrow. And for those of you out there say, Coach, I need more details. Folks, I'm working on all of them. And I want to give a tip of the cap right now to our buddy Dave Allison. Dave Allison called me and just all of a sudden he just started doing all kinds of crazy stuff to help me out. And I want you to know I really appreciate it, Dave. Let me click over here. And Stephanie, so hey, Steph. Come on a little, if you can. Stephanie says, I'm in here. Stephanie, can you tell us a little bit about this solstice thing, what it's all about from a Wiccan, a devil point of view?
Hey, Coach. Yeah, I'm in here morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those days. It's about as above, so below. And so
remember, folks, she's a former pagan. She's a former witch.
Former white witch that practiced shamanism. So I really, really followed the Native American practices, and this is a day when the veils are thin, and the entity that we believe that we can't see that are around us are able to communicate easier with people who are open to that kind of thing on these days as well. Celebration of the longer days coming, growth season and stuff. They do that too. But it's the spiritual realm, the significance of it. And just Bob and Tammy going there is going to be a snag in the whole energy there today. Amen. That just is going to change everything that's in there. So I lift them up for doing that. And also people pray against, there's people out there that do believe in this.
This matters
they
to
do
the
believe
occult,
in this.
Stephanie, this matters to the occult, doesn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. So they are willing to live it, breathe it, do it. And there's different shades of it. The Native Americans most likely will be there. That's who was at the Snake Mound too. They're just what they believe in with their religion, their meat suit, they're open to their star people.
So folks, and, a couple years ago, I if I'd have been more prepared, if Bob hadn't got me so distracted this morning, I would have pulled up the video of when we went to the Serpent Mound. You guys all remember that, right? And Michelle was quoting Psalm 91, and that this demon manifested right there. I mean, it was unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. So we were at the Serpent Mound 5 years ago, maybe today. I don't know, folks. This is real stuff to the occult. It's real. We can't even understand how real this stuff is to them. Because why? First of all, we've never been taught about it, right? We don't even really believe in the supernatural anymore. And the government has told us that the Hopewell Indians built it. Hopewell Indians, right? And these things are all over here in Central Ohio in particular. They're everywhere, everywhere. So be aware today. I want to move on here. Thanks, Stephanie. Be aware that this is a high, high holy day of the occult. And again, if you guys yesterday, did any of you, you can give me a thumbs up. Did any of you watch that thing from Doc Marquis yesterday? Because we shortened it down. And Spencer, maybe you can find that thing we shortened down and put it in the chat where he talks just about Easter. Just about Easter. But the whole video, hour and 20 minutes, talks about every one of these holidays. This is from a guy who was in the occult. Now, we can believe him or not believe him. Now, look, you don't have to believe it to know that they believe it. They believe it. So it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. So Spencer just put that in the chat. Thanks, Spence. That's a cut down version. It's about 30 minutes, I think, of what Doc Marquis told us about Easter, which we're... Oh, my goodness. I don't want to get bogged on. I want to keep moving on. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got it. Glenn Newman won. Glenn ran for what, Central Committee again? Glenn Newman. What am I saying? Glenn Newman. Sorry, Glenn.
Yeah.
Glenn won his reelection. Glenn Claremont won. Thank, praise the Lord. I didn't even know you were running again. Dumb me. So we're glad you won, bud.
No, it was... thanks to support my wife and Joe Healy, the person who put together my campaign literature. So it was a team effort, Coach. A lot of work over a 2 month period. I have 15 precincts. I have one of the largest, if not the largest, ward in Columbus. 55-45% percentage-wise.
Awesome, Glenn. Awesome. So let's be honest. You've been on there 2 years, Glenn?
2 years, yeah.
And how many meetings have you had?
Two. Two meetings.
So two meetings in 2 years. They don't really want a committee. They really don't care what you say, do they?
Glenn? No, they don't. But now I know. Now I have direction. The Lord has showed me what direction to go in with this.
You ain't a rookie anymore, are you, buddy? You ain't a
no.
rookie. Right? Amen.
Yeah.
We're proud of you, Glenn. Again, I would thank Dave Allison for all the legwork he's been doing. And those of you who are going to go with us tomorrow, I'll get the information to you and everything. We're going to stay in hotels. Dave got us a real good price at hotels. Folks, we need you to kick some money in out there. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and kick in some money so we can afford to stay in these hotels and all that kind of stuff. So we need your support. Well, I'm running through a list of things here. Bear with me a second. I got to tell you a story. I went to the BMV yesterday. The Bureau of Motor Vehicles is the pit of hell. But here's what's really good about the BMV. When you walk into the BMV, I had to sit there for an hour. A number would pop up. D24, please report to window 8. And so y'all just sit there and wait for him to call you up. And folks, here's all you got to do. Go to the BMV and look around and you'll understand why Joe Biden's president. The people in there have no, they are just, what's the word I could use? They're just pliable robots. Go here, do that. Can somebody explain to me why you have to go to the BMV to register your car every year? Can somebody explain that to me? And then you go up there and the questions asked, sir, are you on drugs? Or, sir, have you? I think, what the hell's wrong with you, man? I just want a sticker for my car, all right? Just want a sticker for my car. And why you have to go do that? Sit there like a little monkey and bow to knee? It's amazing. So the Lord let me see yesterday why Joe Biden's president. I can tell you that they ain't got any. Yeah, Clay, it's all about money. It's all about control. So yes, I know I can do it by mail. I didn't know that. Now, so anyway. What else?
Hey, can I share something with you, Coach? I had to take Karina to the BMV this week. Her license expired unbeknownst to her. So I said to the clerk, I said, don't they send you a notice when your license expires? She says to me, oh, well, it's hit and miss. It's hit or miss. You may or may not get a notice.
So one of them, I go to get Steve Deck will appreciate this. I lost my papers. I wasn't sure if the truck that I want to take tomorrow with us, if it was up to plates or up to date. I couldn't remember. So I went there to find that, right? And you go in there and you know what you find out, folks? Are you ready for this? If you're haven't registered your vehicle, by the way, it's registered. If you haven't registered your vehicle within 13 months, you have to get a new license plate. You can't get your old license plate up. No. $28 for a new license. I mean, what a racket. I know people want to, okay, let's short Betty, short Jack. Go, Betty.
I just want to remind you to check your registration card. Because my car I had for 4 years, and I got stopped for a stolen vehicle on Saturday night when I came to Worthington, saying that that wasn't my car. So check your registration. They're getting lazy there. It's ridiculous. Plus, then they charged me again when I already transferred them to once.
Well, you know what, Betty? You know what my happiest moment, proudest moment was yesterday? When the old pickle-faced girl working at the gate, government hack, if you don't mind me saying so, when she treated me like I was scum, just another guy walking in line at the welfare line, I said to her as I left, I said, hey, ma'am. She's looking down. She went, blah, blah, blah. I said, ma'am, will you look at me? Will you look at me? She looked at me. I said, ma'am, do you know how to smile? She said, what? I said, do you know how to smile? Do you know something, ma'am? Do you know you work for me? And you treat me like dirt. Do you know how to smile? Proudest moment of my life, that old government workers, help us out. Jack, quickly.
Yeah, seeing as how this is an important day over there at the mounds, if Tammy and Bob are alone, I think somebody ought to join them. They need a backup.
Yep. Well, they're on their way over there now. Maybe I can translate myself there, Jack. We just pray that we're with them, covering them here right now. They'll be okay. Roger.
I hate to waste time on the BMV, but it's a good one. I was there a week ago, and the lady must have had four different colors in her hair. And all I can think is these people get to vote. These people get to decide our future.
And they don't know anything about what's going on, Roger. And
I don't mean that arrogantly. I'm not a blue blood or anything, but I'm thinking these people get to vote.
Amen. Oh, but by the way, real quickly, here in Ohio, it may not be any big deal to you guys. Not really a big deal to me. Our little event we had the other night, Bernie Marino is running for Senate. Bernie Marino came to our little event. There were only maybe 30 of us, and he came and spoke to us and seemed like a really good guy. So he's running for state. For senator in Ohio. He's running against Matt Dolan, who is the Republican-endorsed candidate, Glenn. Matt Dolan, Rhino, Republican-endorsed candidate, and a third guy who is our current Secretary of State, Frank LaRose. Those three guys running for U.S. Senator, and Donald Trump endorsed Bernie Marino. And Bernie Marino got 49% of the vote in a three-way race last night over the current Secretary of State and the Republican-endorsed Dolan. Something's going on, friends. Something's going on. Now, I'm not here singing the praises of Bernie Marino, but I'm telling you, he was not endorsed by the Republican Party and he won.
No, that's right. Former U.S. Senate Rob Portman and Mike DeWine both came out and supported Matt Dolan.
That's right.
Publicly.
Publicly. And Bernie Marino got 49% of the vote in a three-way race with known candidates. It's something happening here. Something not exactly clear. Look, I got to show you something else here because we're getting ready to go. Those of you who are going with us to Indian Lake, I promise you, I'm going to communicate with you some of the details. Dave Allison's just been doing wonderful, wonderful work for us. I appreciate that. So I'm going to tell you where we're going to rendezvous, where we're going to stay. So just relax if you haven't gotten that information. And I got to go to the dentist today to get the permanent tooth put in this morning. So that's throwing me behind a little bit. But I appreciate guys like Dave and guys picking up Clay. Guys like, hey, coach, I'll do that for you. I'll get that done for you. That really helps. Sometimes I don't delegate as well as I could. But I want to show you this. This is Spencer, pull up an email I sent to you. It says needs on it. This just shows you, folks. This was posted Lakeview Fire Department. Think about this. After the tornado comes through, here's what people need. You don't even think about the simple things they need. Hand can openers. Do you have a hand can opener in your house? Or is all your can openers electric? So these people don't have any power and they can't even open a can. So they need hand can openers. Every battery imaginable, because there's no power out there, right? Nobody has flashlights, or they have flashlights. They don't have batteries. By the way, you have batteries in your flashlights at your house? My wife and I get in that argument all the time. Does that flashlight work? I see it's there. Great. Does it work? Are the batteries good in it? Lanterns, plastic paper plates, plasticware. These are things that they put out. We need 5-gallon buckets. Don't ask me why. Toilet paper, paper towels, cleaning supplies, disinfectant wipes, gloves, tarps. Oh, my goodness. Storage containers, staple guns, staples. Just little simple things that you don't even think about. Yeah, somebody said take a generator. Yeah, take a generator. We think about people needing generators, but they don't have generators. And you call Lowe's and Lowe's. Anyway, I don't want to bore all of you. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Oh, my goodness. How about this? Pull up number one. Quietly, our buddy Kevin Van Story, recognized by bestagent.usa, is a 2024 top agent. Congratulations, Kevin. I hope you're making $1 million and losing more weight. Unbelievable. It's so good to see good guys do good, isn't it? And be recognized as a top. Well, I don't even know what that means, Kevin. I don't know if it just means there's 20 people patting you on the back, but whatever. God bless you, man, for doing that and for pushing forward. And Kevin's kind of in the middle of a career change because real estate's kind of tanked. And I don't know if you guys are aware of that. The banks are screwed up. The interest rates have gone sky high. Everything's gone on. And Kevin is in training to be a truck driver, a long haul truck driver. So God bless you, Kevin. I know that, man, you've been through it, buddy. You've been through it. And I appreciate that for that. Okay, let's see. I was having a conversation with Bob today. Get that up there a little bit. Conversation with Bob today. I had a great time. And we were debating why we get so angry when somebody disagrees with us theologically. Because you would agree with you, right? Folks, tensions rise, man. We start talking about the rapture. We start talking about the Sabbath. We start talking about just to pick anything. Man, we get mad. And I don't think there's anything wrong with clinging to your deeply held religious beliefs. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody believes like you. And even though that you can go in the Bible and selectively pick out verses that will support your argument, somebody else can undo it by doing the exact same thing. And so Bob and I had a lively discussion this morning because I don't care. I said, Bob, I can't tell you how many things I used to believe I don't believe anymore. I can't even begin to tell you. And if it's true in the world, like, can I tell you? Yeah, I don't think two planes flew into the towers. I don't think that's what brought the towers in. Sorry. I don't think Oklahoma bombing was by accident. I don't think Timothy McVeigh did that. I don't think I could go on and on and on and on with these, what they call conspiracy theories. See, conspiracy theory develops because something doesn't add up. Something doesn't add up. And because something doesn't add up, those of us who are inquisitive say, wait a minute, that don't add up. That don't add up. And so I appreciated as Bob and I chewed around flat earth, solstice, all that kind of stuff, how the shape of the earth, where heaven is, where do you go when you die? You say, well, coach, you go to heaven or you go to hell. No, you don't. No, you don't. No. In fact, do some research on it. Folks, I don't think there's anybody in heaven right now. I don't think they are. We could do a show on it. What I believe isn't the gospel. I don't know for sure. But I don't think you go to heaven when you die. I think if we follow the Bible, there's a great white throne judgment. And at the great white throne judgment, we all appear in front of Christ for the great judgment. And then it's heaven or hell. And you say, well, coach, where are my mom and my dad? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. But I don't think the Bible teaches that you go to heaven when you die immediately. Now, you can have your view on it, but it's something that's clearly open for debate. Why do we get mad about it? Why do we, oh my God, I can feel the tension when we begin to talk about these things. So one of the things I love so much about this is just a free flow of ideas. And man, you can believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want believe, and we still remain friends. People say, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. I say, you damn liar. That isn't what the Bible says. That isn't what the Bible, yeah, who killed Kennedy? You think Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy? And you think Jack Ruby somehow just snuck in there and killed? Yeah, come on, right? So we could go on through the agenda, what the agenda would be. Well, we know what the agenda of the devil is, right? Huh? Deception. He's been a liar from the beginning. So in this world in which we live, we know that the devil doesn't want the truth to get out. And the devil has seized control of the public schools. And every one of the children now coming out of public schools now believe that they were not created in the image of man, but they were a monkey. That's what they've taught. And who's done that? Has the church taught that? Well, the church, for the most part, remain kind of silent about it because we are embarrassed because we think it's just Bible stories, right? So it got to the point where I wanted to pull up something. Then I'm going to open it up. I'm going to step out of the way here in a second. You guys know what a simile is? A simile. The Bible is full of similes. And here's a simile. Simile comes from the word similar. And anytime you find as you're reading the Bible, it is critical for you to recognize a simile. A simile is a comparison, like a roaring lion. Not a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. As a roaring lion. Those are called similes. And what is a simile? A simile in rhetoric is similitude, a comparison of two things which, however different in other aspects, have some strong point or points of resemblance by comparison. How about this one? Jesus loved the church as a husband loves his wife. It's a simile. It's a simile. It's a comparison. So I'm thinking right now how much I love my wife. I was having this conversation with Bob. I don't even know how to express my love for my wife other than you guys know what it is, right? It's a relationship you can't explain. But you two become one. Well, Christ used that illustration, or was it Paul used that illustration, that like Christ loved the church. And so, therefore, we've turned the church into the bride of Christ because the Bible uses a simile. Oh, did I put that up there? Yes. Put number 5 up there for me. Look, I'm not trying to step on anybody's theology. Suck it up and relax, all right? So the bride of Christ, I'm just using this as an example. These are all in the ESV. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Does that make the church the bride of Christ? Betty, does that make the church the bride of Christ? He says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Okay, next one. Let us rejoice and exalt, glory and glory. The marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his bride has been made ready, and is granted to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen. But where am I? Blessed. Forget that one. That's one. I'm trying to show you similes, okay? So get this stuff off because it's going to take me in a direction I don't want to go today. So we have to be very, very careful that we understand when we read scripture, if I said, man, oh, man, that inside linebacker, he's like a bull. He's a bull in a china shop. Now, I don't know about you. We don't put bulls in china shops, do we? We don't do it. It's a simile saying this is what it would look like. This is what it would look like. So the bride of Christ, which they've told us is the church, go to Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. Because I'm going to show you something. Simile. I'm not going to start a fight. I'm going to open it up. I want to hear from you anyway. Revelation 21:8. We'll show you a simile. No. What the heck is wrong with me? Go back to the Bride of Christ thing. I want to show you where it says that the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride. And there it is. There it is. There it is. Revelation 21:9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues and spoke to me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Right? So we have to understand comparisons and similes within the Word of God. We don't always understand them. Christ loved the church as a man loves his wife. That's a paraphrase, right? And we superimpose similes for, what's the word I'm looking for? Anybody picking up what I'm saying out there? That's why I think we have so many questions in the Bible. Stay right there, 21:12. People say, Coach, the church is the bride of Christ. No. It says, love husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Like he did, right? It's a comparison. This is how he loved. How did he love it? Well, he gave his life for it. How many of you out there would give your wife life for your spouse? I would. I would give my life for my spouse. Well, Christ gave his life for us. We're supposed to give our life for him. It's a comparison. It's a simile. Now look, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem, I would say, is the bride of Christ. I don't know. The one, John 3:29, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. So I'm losing some of you. I'm going to tell you this. This is what Coach Dave thinks, and you guys can think whatever you want. I don't think the church is the bride of Christ. I think the church is the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. The New Jerusalem. Folks, remember this. The advent of the Holy Spirit took everything from natural to spiritual. Everything from natural to spiritual. Right? The New Jerusalem is spiritual. The kingdom of God is within you. Where is that? That's Romans, I ought to know off the top of my head, but I don't. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom isn't someplace we're going, it's someplace we are. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are already connected to the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom is within us. Within us. It's not someplace we go. Oh, boy, I'm all over the place. All over the place. So I want to come back to something from yesterday. Man, I've gone 34 minutes. I don't feel like I've gotten anywhere yet. Pull up number four. Pull up number four. Boy, I hate to touch this. What's the greatest commandment? Randy, thank you. That's the word I'm missing. My wife and I have a covenant. The Holy Spirit, Jesus has a covenant with those he's married to. He has a covenant. It's not an actual marriage. Jesus asked this very question, what's the greatest commandment? The Pharisee was considered to be an expert in the law. And Jesus answered by saying, they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Is it loving the Lord your God with all your... What's the greatest commandment? Now, don't lie, don't steal, don't covet. Remember the Sabbath. Honor thy father and mother. What's the greatest one? He says, dude, you got it all wrong. Got it all wrong. He said, Jesus answered, says, something too. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Time out! How many of you do that? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. How many of you do that? Anybody want to raise your hand and say, yeah, I do, coach, that is me. I love him above everything else. I don't enjoy comfort. I don't enjoy my spouse. I don't enjoy fishing. I don't enjoy football. Coach, I'm on top, all time, 100% loving the Lord with all of my heart. How many of you doing that? Well, sorry, you're in trouble. And the second is, this is the greatest, the most important commandment. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. That's the greatest commandment. The second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Betty, you do that? You love your neighbor as much as you love you? No, no, you don't, Betty. No, you don't. Hey, Ray LeBlanc, do you love yourself? You love your neighbor as much as you love you? No, you come on, quit lying, Ray. Quit lying, right?
No way.
No way. No way. No way that I do, right? So I ain't gonna make it, right? And it says the second is just like it. Love your neighbors yourself. Look, all the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Folks, let me tell you something. You better understand this. You will never be holy enough to enter into heaven. It is only by the grace of God that you will ever make it, that I will ever make it. All the rules, all the regulations, all that kind of stuff. Yes, we ought to honor the Lord. Yes, we ought to follow. Yes, we ought to do that. But if you think following the rules gets you in, you are totally missing it. All the law and all the prophets depend on these two commandments. I'm going to ask you again. Hey, Ray, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Hey, Ray, when you get up in the morning, can you wait to go over and feed your neighbor? Can you wait to go over and give money to your neighbor? Ray, would you go empty all your bank account and go give it to your neighbor? Will you do that, Ray? Come on, Ray. You going to do that or not?
I don't think so.
You ain't going to do that?
I don't think so. No, I wouldn't.
Because you love you more than your neighbor?
No, we're not going to happen.
Yeah, Ray, you ain't
going to happen.
You ain't going to get in then, Ray. Huh? Sorry, it's the greatest commandment, he said, right? That's the greatest one. Folks, these are...
I do have a love for my wife, where I lay my life down for her before I would my neighbor.
You'd lay your life down for your wife before you would your neighbor. Great. Sorry, dude. You ain't going to make it, man. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and all your mind. You don't do that, Ray. You don't do that. Folks, I'm trying to hammer home a point that salvation is nothing but grace. Nothing but grace. When I'm going to stand before the Lord, go, is that? Is that 21, Revelation 21? The great white throne judgment? See if you can pull that up for me. Hey, folks, look, I'm a helmet head, okay? I'm not a theologian. Yes, I'm an ordained minister. Yes, I got a PhD. And yes, I got all that kind of stuff, but I ain't an expert in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something, neither are you. The great white throne judgment. Where is it? Somebody help me out real quick. I don't want to know about the kingdom. The great white throne judgment. I saw the great and small stand before God and the books were opened. Where is it? Come on, I'm in a teaching mode here. Somebody help me out. And I said, keep going. And I saw a great white throne.
20.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened. which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the works, according to whether or not I love my neighbor as myself, and whether or not I tithe, and whether or not I kept the feasts, and whether all it's all written down. It's all written down. And we're going to be caught, we're going to be judged according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Scroll down. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You better grasp this. When you stand before the Lord on that great getting up morning, whatever they call that, when you stand before the Lord, you will be guilty. You have no excuse. Yeah. You may have kept everything and done everything, and you're going to stand before the Lord. And you know what he's going to say? God's going to say, Coach Dave, I'm opening these books. Whoa, dude. Oh, gee, coach. What do you got to say for you? What do you got to say for yourself, coach? Why should I let you in here? And I'm going to be saying, dude, I ain't got nothing to say. And then all of a sudden in the back of the room, his son's going to stand up. And the son's going to stand up and say, Father, Judge, Your Honor, I died for that guy. Your Honor, on January 28th, 1978, Coach Dave walked down that aisle and he confessed me as his Lord and Savior. And I died on the cross to pay for his sins. And Your Honor, he is guilty, but he's forgiven. I paid the price. I paid the price. That's the reality of it, friends. You're all going to stand before the Lord, and you won't have one excuse. You will not have one excuse why you didn't keep the Sabbath or why you didn't eat meat on Fridays. Or you won't have any excuse for any of that stuff. Why you looked at porn, why you whatever, why you did all that stuff. You got no excuse. And you're going to stand before them, and they're going to open the books, and they're going to be the books, and it's going to be shown everything you did. This is the gospel, showing everything you did. And the judges are going to say, okay, what you got to say for yourself, Dave? What you got to say for yourself? And I'm going to throw myself, prostrate myself, begging for mercy. And my, wow. The sacrificial lamb is going to stand up and say, I died for that guy. Your Honor, I paid the price for his sin. He's guilty, but forgiven. I paid for it. And the judge is going to say, hey, case dismissed. Come on in. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. That's the way I read the gospel. And if we think, any of us, think that we can be righteous or holy enough on our behavior of following rules and regulations, you're missing the whole thing, in my opinion. Because you know this? The thief on the cross, he didn't know, even know anything about it. He didn't even know anything. He said, hey, Lord, do me a favor. Well, the one thief said what? Remember us when you come into your kingdom. That was the guy that lay on the cross, and the Lord said, to this day, you'll be with me in paradise. This day, right here. He didn't know any hermeneutics. He didn't know any end time scriptures. He didn't know nothing other than he realized he was a sinner and he needed a Savior. Now, I'm not making light the whole debate of once saved, always saved. Because, boy, that goes down a road, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Huh? Once saved. Always under the blood. That's a whole debate. I don't know. But I know this. I cannot be holy enough. I cannot follow enough rules to make it into the kingdom of God. I can't do it. I cannot do it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, what the Bible says. So I'm not trying to make light of anybody's theology. I'm not trying to make light of what holy day we should follow. I'm not trying to make light of that. But if you think following all the holy days and all the feasts and what was it? Love your neighbor as yourself. You do that? Do you do that? I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm in serious trouble. Because it says, upon this do hang all the laws. All the laws hang upon that, right? Man, let me ask a question. Maybe I need to do a show on this. Have you been born again? I'm not talking about whether you've been in church your whole life. Have you been born again? Have you had what the Bible talks about, the new birth? Has that happened to you? Have you just always been in church? From the time you're a little boy, little girl, you've just been in church, went to all the Sunday schools and did everything they asked you to do. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus in John chapter 3, pull that up there real quickly. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to finish it. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Because Jesus shows up. He shows up and he's talking to all these religious leaders. And there was a man named of the Pharisees. Pharisees were the holy men, right? Nicodemus shows up. He was a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was Joe Biden or vice president of something. He was a cabinet member. And he couldn't figure out what gospel Jesus was teaching. So he came to him at night. Wouldn't you know that? Nicodemus is a little bit curious. What's going on here? So he goes out there and said, Rabbi, calls Jesus Rabbi. We know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. See, they don't know about the Holy Spirit yet. They don't know about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said unto him, dude, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. What? Can't see it. Nicodemus said unto him, what are you talking about, Willis? How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter back into his mommy's womb, be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, verily, verily, said it twice, I say unto you, again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can follow all the rules and regulations that you want to. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, dudes. He says, marvel not that I say you must be born again. He said, the wind blows wherever it goes. And you hear the sound of the wind. But you can't tell where it came from, where it's gone. So that's the way it is with everybody that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can this be, man? What are you talking about? Are you on drugs? Huh? LSD? You on a trip? Jesus said unto him, you mean to tell me you've been in church your whole stinking life and you don't get this? He ain't talking to some guy down on the corner. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak things that what we know. I tell you that all the time. We talk about what we know. We testify that we have seen, and yet you don't believe us. You don't believe us because you haven't had the experience. He said, if I told you earthly things and you don't believe him, how are you going to understand these heavenly things that I'm talking about? He says, no man ascends up to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, and the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, I'm going to be lifted up. And what? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him, even though he doesn't follow all the feasts, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth and hateth the light neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest and that they are wrought in God. And these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized them. On and on and on. Hey, dudes, you must be born again. I'll be honest with you. Some of you aren't. In fact, I was having a conversation with Bob Evans before we came down here today. How old were you, Bob, I asked him, when somebody explained to you what it meant to be born again? And I'm going to tell you something. I was 35 years old. I never understood. I was in church. I wasn't born again. I wasn't born from on high. I hadn't received the covering of the blood of Jesus, followed by baptism in water. None. They say, is baptism required for salvation? I don't know. But he said, be baptized. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Say, well, I was sprinkled as a little kid. Okay. Is baptism required for salvation? No. How do you know that, coach? Because a thief wasn't baptized. Believing. Baptism is a sign of a rebirth. Man, I'm all over the place. Well, I'm going to tell you. If you, any of you out there think that your good works, following rules, is going to get you in heaven, and not following rules is going to keep you out, you don't understand it. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? I've been born again. I can point to the moment when it happened to me. Can you do that in your walk? Can you point to a moment where you've sat down and you, wherever it was, whether it was in a church, whether it was in your couch at home, wherever you were, where you sat down and said, Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive me. I want to be born again. I want the Spirit of God to indwell me. Lord, if this thing is real, make it real to me. Can you point to a time when you did that? If you can't, you know what I can do, right? You know what I can do right now? November 26th, 1952, I was born. I can mark it. I don't have to wonder if maybe I was. I can tell you when it happened. November 26, 1952. And can I tell you something else? I was in my Bible here, thanks to my sister. I was born again, 1/28/87. I received the Spirit of God for the forgiveness of my sins. Have you? Now, let me ask you another one. Boy, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Pull that up for me, Spencer. Say, Coach, where would that be? It's in Acts. Just type in that question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? I'm asking you. And the disciples in the first book of Acts. No, it's going to be in the book of Acts. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Somebody help me out there. Somebody's a lot smarter than me. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Hey, folks, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Acts 2:38. Thank you, Janine. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the mission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not totally it, Janine. They said, we never even heard of such thing. Acts 19. There it is. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. In other words, they were Christians, but maybe they didn't understand what it meant. And he said, hey, guys, I just got a question here. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? There's a time sequence there. Receiving since, received since. And they said to him, what are you talking about, Willis? Never even heard of it. Never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, then what were you baptized? They said, well, we were baptized under John's baptism. And said Paul, well, John baptized you with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that he should believe on him, which should come after him, that believe on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake in tongues and prophesied. That makes people nervous, right? Paul laid his hands on you. What did he say? Receive ye the Holy Spirit? Is that what it says? Or is that someplace else? See, in my opinion, I'm not talking about tongue talking and dancing around and waving flags and being charismatic. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Hey, friends, I'm asking you this today. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, look what happened. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So something happened. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the world. Have you received the Holy Spirit? I got to tell you something. I can't keep my mouth shut. That power's busting to get out of me. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and every place you go. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of sight. Why? Because Jesus had to go so the Holy Spirit could come. And he that was with you is now in you. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?
Boom.
Well, I didn't even know there was such a Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. I got it. I'm full of it. People say, Coach, you're full of it. I say, you're daggone right I am. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Most Christians don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. And then the church has bastardized it. Because why? Because they go around, they think it's all about waving flags and kind of music we have and spiritual dances and falling out and being slain in the spirit. When really, all it is having the daggone courage to speak truth to power. That's how you know you got the Holy Spirit. When you have the courage to speak truth to power. When you have the courage to say what nobody wants you to say. You can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And most people don't have it. And I'm not sitting here bragging about how powerful I am, yada, yada, yada. I'm just going to tell you something. I received power when the Holy Spirit came upon me. And I'm a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. Anybody knows me knows I wear the gospel on my sleeve. It's the power of God. It's the power Amen. Of God unto salvation. And all we have is religion, religion, religion. And Jesus told us religion kills. The letter of the law kills. Pull that up, Spencer. The letter kills. The letter of the law kills. If you think you're going to follow rules into heaven, you're deceived. The letter kills. Somebody find it for me out there. It's all, hey, this is right off the cuff from the Holy Spirit to you today. But who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Go ahead and follow all the rules and regulations and feasts. I'm not going to say that your life's not going to be better and more blessed by it. But if you think that's what's getting you into heaven, you are deceived. Huh? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, meaning the sacrifice that I made. When you stand in that courtroom before Almighty God, I'm the only way you're getting in, dude. I'm the only way you're getting in. You're not going to rule, follow the rules into the kingdom. You're not any way, shape, or form going to do it. I am the door, he said. I am the door. Broad is the way, narrow is the gate. I am that gate. I am that door. You can follow all the rules you want to. If you don't come through me, you ain't getting in. And his forgiveness is all inclusive in all times. Now, I don't think that doesn't mean that you don't have to repent and feel bad about something that you did that you shouldn't have done. But I'm going to tell you something. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Not any rule, not any regulation, not anything you do, no denomination, none of that stuff. Have you received Christ as your Savior and has shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
See you tomorrow.